Good morning. Are you here? Good morning. Okay. Just wanted to make sure. Got an echo sound. So before we start, a while back we had Bill and Carol Frisbee here, and they shared a sheet of dynamic things that is dynamics 1, 2, 3, and 4 of things that you can do to go deeper with the Lord. Still a bit of an echo. And so I've challenged people to say, okay, what are you doing with those things? How is the Lord speaking if you are willing to take the chance and see what God will do or say? So I've asked Shelley to come up to share with us. She's taken on the challenge. And she's just going to share a little bit about what that's done with her. Please stand over here.
I actually have had quite a ride the last couple months. But my testimony is the dynamic sheet that Bill and Carol Frisbee shared with us. I did 4 of them, but I'm only going to tell you about one. I took on the dynamic one of repent over your busyness that keeps you from your first priority of knowing and enjoying God. Put down your phone, Shelley. That's what I heard. I was spending, honestly, anywhere from 3 to 5 hours on my phone, playing games, social media, whatever, and I got convicted. The result is I have a brand new sense of what God is saying on a daily, hourly, minute basis. And I am seeing answers to prayers daily, not just once in a while, but little things, and then sometimes some really big things. And I'm also seeing a huge improvement in my health. It's amazing what God is doing.
Isn't it interesting to see that making one decision to silence the other voices, the voices of social media, the voices of games, and saying, let me focus on one voice and do it daily. I don't know how long she does it every day, but if you cut out that time, that means you make more time for this. And we just sang the song that says, making room for him, right? Very practical, making room on a daily basis for that, right? So, let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you that you pursue us, that you come after us, that you are already here waiting for us. But not only here on a Sunday morning, but every day you are waiting for us to meet with you. As we read in pre-service prayer in Psalms 27, it says that I heard in my heart you calling me to come and talk to you. And then my heart response was, yes, Lord, I'm coming. May that always be our response, that when he calls us to meet alone with him, that we would come, waiting, ready to listen and to converse with him. Lord, we bless your name. We want to honor you. Father, we just want to meet you today, and we want you to speak deeply into our hearts that what you speak will go into good soil. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. Have you ever wanted to drive on the Indy 500 track? I'm sure there's some of you, right? I know of somebody. Mm-hmm. It's where you can drive without getting pulled over. And even better yet, not get a ticket? But maybe you want to go fast, yet you're a little bit scared because you're going to go way beyond 100 miles per hour, right? Do you know what the average speed is on the Indy 500? 190 miles an hour. I don't even want to approach 100, so 190. But maybe you want some advice about how not to crash, right? When you put that pedal to the metal, right? I know some people who do that, but not on the Indy 500 track. I won't mention any names, okay? But Mario Andretti, you know who he is? He's one of those famous drivers that has been on that track. And he once said, his advice was, don't look at the wall. And so the question is, how is that helpful? So he followed up on it by saying the following. Your car will go in the direction that your eyes are pointing towards. Okay? So even on a normal highway, when there's multiple lanes, you want to make sure that you are looking at your lane and not the lane next to you, right? Whether it's going with you or going against you. Because when your eyes look toward that, guess what? The car starts to drift in that same direction, right? So you will gravitate into that lane. And so, and that applies to life in general. Your life will always go in the direction of your focus, okay? The same can be said of your thoughts. And if you don't believe me, let's look at what the Apostle Paul said. And this is what he said in Romans 8, verses 5 and 6. He says, those who are dominated by the sinful nature think about sinful things. Those who are controlled by the Holy Spirit think about things that please the Spirit. So letting your sinful nature control your mind leads to death. But letting the Spirit control your mind leads to life and peace. So in that verse, who's doing the letting? Who's letting the sinful nature control, or who's letting the Holy Spirit control? Have any idea? We are. It's not some outside force. It's not God. It's our decision. Now, the idea of being dominated by the sinful nature or being controlled by the Spirit begins when we each identify, what have I submitted my thought life to? Have I allowed my outlook to be shaped by what I selfishly want or by what the Holy Spirit wants? So the question is, where is my focus? Do I spend most of my time thinking about satisfying me and my own needs, or am I thinking about satisfying other people's needs or what God wants? I think the Holy Spirit would say, I want you to think about others first and then yourself second. Is my mic still on? Yeah, I saw a change. Okay. But maybe you can't even think about, do I put others first? Do I put others second? Maybe you're feeling like, right now I'm too overwhelmed. My life is helpless and hopeless, right? Does anyone relate to that, being helpless and hopeless? Maybe you feel like, I'm so stuck in what am I doing that I don't know what else to do. I have a cycle of sin or things that I regret, and yet I don't know what to do about it. Well, my question is, do you have a say in the direction of your life? Do you? But it may not always feel that way, right? Yet if Christ is in you, then the answer would be yes. You can break out of that cycle that you're in, right? And even if we looked at Romans 8, which is, I think is verse 9, it says, but you are not controlled by your sinful nature. That's a fact. You are not controlled by your sinful nature. You are controlled by the Spirit if you have the Spirit of God living in you. So the condition is, if the Spirit of God is living in you, you're not controlled by the sinful nature, but by the Spirit of God. Now, that's a fact, but you might feel like, but I don't see that fact living itself out in my life. I don't see it happening. I don't see that as a habit. But even if you go back a couple of chapters in the book of Romans, Paul would say in chapter 6, he says the following, we have therefore been buried with him through baptism into death, so that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory and power of the Father, we too might walk habitually in the newness of life, abandoning our old ways. In other words, Paul was saying that old life before Christ came into your life is dead. But if you look at your life, you say, but it doesn't feel like it's dead. I don't feel like my habits are dead. I don't feel like my thinking is dead. I don't think about the way I feel is dead. But he says, it is dead. Now, the question at hand is, are you willing to align yourself to walk in agreement with what it actually says? So if it's true that I'm dead to that nature, that old way of doing things, has your mind caught up with that idea? Or is it still thinking the old way or the new way? Are you convinced that sin has no power over you? Maybe you're living in a way that proves it. Maybe you're living in a way that doesn't prove it. I don't know. Maybe if you were to look at your habits, you'd say, I'm getting a different message. And that message is, I'm stuck. I can't seem to move forward. Or the message might be, I've been doing this for so long, I don't even know where to begin. How do I change my life? Do you understand that you have permission to make it a habit to walk in the newness of life according to that scripture that we just read? Right? It says it right there. That we might walk. It doesn't say that we are walking. It says that we might walk, which means there is something that we, you and I, need to do in order to make that true. It's a fact, but it has to be lived out. It has to become a realization in our lives. Do you realize that you can be free and abandon that old way of thinking, that old way of doing things? I think you can, because according to the scripture, it says that you don't have to be stuck. Even if you feel like I've created so many habits in my life, they're so ingrained in me that I don't know what to do. Do any of you have had bad habits that you haven't been able to change? I deal with bad habits regarding how much I sleep, how much water I consume, how much I eat, what I eat, how much I exercise, how much I don't exercise. I made a decision this morning. I'm going to ride my bike to church. That might not be a big deal to you, but if I do that every day, what happens? I start feeling better, right? So, here's the thing. Habits can be made that either help you or go against you. And these habits that are bad for you can be broken, and you can create new ones. You've got to decide if you're going to do that or not, right? So the question at hand is, your habits are formed by the thoughts that dominate your thinking, okay? I got this book recently, and the very first sentence in the introduction just stopped me in my tracks. You don't want to know what it says? If you don't want to know, I'll just put it back down. You do want to know? Okay. All right, here's what it says. Show me your habits, and I'll show you your future. Show me your habits, and I'll show you your future. And I thought, okay, I got to get this book, and I got to figure out what's going on, because I need to change some things in me. So that's what happened. So if you don't like the direction that your thoughts are taking you, then it's time to think some different thoughts, right? Because different thoughts lead to different actions, and different actions lead to different experiences, right? Because we all know the definition of insanity, right? If you continue doing the same thing but you expect a different result, it's never going to happen. But if you do something different, if you think something different, you do something different, then you're going to experience something different. Right? It's very simple, very practical. But the problem is, we have to make the decisions daily, right? That's what the other thing it says here. It says, you've got to make these things a daily choice. And when you do, things can happen that are differently. But even if you choose not to decide, is that a decision? It certainly is, right? No matter what you're experiencing, if you choose not to decide, you've decided. It's still a choice. Now, it may feel that, hey, I'm not in control because I've chosen one option or I've chosen the other option. But either way, if you keep choosing that and choosing that, what happens? You form a habit. And when you form a habit, what happens? Do you think about whether you put the toothbrush in your mouth before or after you put the toothpaste on? You don't think about it, right? You just do it. Why? Because it's a habit, right? In other words, you are on autopilot. When you get dressed, do you put your shoes on first and your socks second? No, because you're on autopilot, right? It's just that simple. But the question at hand is, can we shut off the autopilot? A better question would be, how do I shut off the autopilot when it comes to certain habits that we have? Okay? So here's the thing. The starting point determines our path, you know, whether it's the sinful nature or whether it's pleasing the Holy Spirit. So the question is, where are your thoughts focused on? Okay? So consider this. The thought leads to an action and then to an experience. And so if you look at thinking about the sinful nature, it's going to lead to an action that you're going to carry out. And once you carry out that action, it's going to lead to an experience. And that experience is death. You do that often enough, what happens? You create a cycle in your life. And then the same thing happens when it comes to pleasing the Holy Spirit. So for instance, if I say a thought or a focus on the sinful nature leads to an action, the action is carried out of that thought of the sinful nature. And when I carry out the action, then it leads to an experience. Now, according to Paul in Romans 8, it says that experience is going to be what? Death. The death of me. You all have habits, whether it's regarding your physical health, your mental health, your emotional health, your relational health, that are either going to lead to death or to life, right? Now, the same thing can be said regarding this pleasing the Spirit, right? A thought or a focus on pleasing the Spirit leads to an action. And when I carry out that action, what happens? I please the Holy Spirit, and then that leads me to an experience. Now, what is the experience that when I please the Holy Spirit? Life and peace. How many of you want life and peace? Okay. So there's the determination. If I follow this route, it leads to death. If I follow the other route, it leads to life and peace. It's my choice every single day. Right? So let's look at a different scripture, and it's from Philippians chapter 4, and this is what it says. And now, dear brothers and sisters, one final thing. So there's a lot of things that Paul said before that, but he says, one final thing. Fix your thoughts on what is true, honorable, and right, and pure, and lovely, and admirable. Think about things that are excellent and worthy of praise. Now, is that where he stops? Do you just think about it? He says, keep putting into practice all that you've learned and received from me and everything you heard from me and saw me doing. So Paul not only said it, but he did it. And he said, you see me doing it? You do the same thing. And then he finished it up with saying, and what happens if I think about these things and I do these things? Right? The God of peace will be with us, right? So Paul is not simply saying, stop thinking about this. He says, replace it with this other thing. Replace it with these things that are, right, true, right? Those things that are right, honorable, lovely, admirable. So last week, Judy mentioned in her message that God wanted to do something. Do you recall what that something was? He wanted to do an exchange. And the exchange was to do what? Do you remember? He wanted to give us a new heart, right? So he said, I'm going to read my translation of this particular one. It says, God replaces our stony, stubborn heart and gives us a tender, responsive heart, right? The new heart is responsive, right? Because he said the other heart was made out of stone. It can't respond to anything. And so that has to take place. That when God comes into our life, he says, you can't really respond to me unless I replace that heart that you had, that heart of stone, and put a new heart. Now, once you have a heart that responds, then it's time to take action. And what's the action you got to take? On your thoughts. You need to find out what you're thinking. What have you learned to believe from your experiences in the past with other people? With what your parents have told you, what your siblings have told you, what your classmates have told you? Has everything that your parents has told you is true? No. Has everything that your siblings have told you is true? Has everything that your classmates told you is true? Has everything that Facebook has told you is true? Right? So you have to discern what is true and what is false. So how do you do that? Well, according to what Paul said, he says, by fixing your thoughts on something else. You got to think about what is true, what is honorable, right, pure. You know, if I work in a bank and someone brings in a deposit, how do I know if the money is fake or real? Any idea? You test it. Yeah, that's one thing. But what do they do to train the people who work in a bank? They make you work with genuine money so often that when a fake comes into your hands, it stands out, right? That's basically what's going on here. God is saying, think about these things so that you know when the false things come into your life. You'll say, that doesn't look like this. You got to think about something else, something different, right? And if you think about these things, and if you put them into practice, which means you are taking action and putting them into practice on a regular daily basis, what happens is you form new habits. And these new habits lead to an experience, and that is that the peace of God will go with you. But the issue is here that there's a choice. Are you going to choose every single day to follow this path that leads to death, or to follow this path that leads to life and peace? It's up to you. So my question is, if you don't like the life that you're experiencing, what do you think needs to happen? Change what you're thinking. Do you want to experience death in your relationships? Do you want to experience death in being stuck in a negative mindset? Do you want to be stuck emotionally? We don't, right? So if you don't want to be stuck emotionally, if you don't want to have limitations on what your physical body can do, you've got to think differently and do something differently. Right? Right, Ruben? My brother-in-law challenges me to make sure I walk, make sure I run, make sure I ride my bike. He's just a couple of years older than me, but he can outdo me in everything. So, but that's not the same case with all the family members I have. I have three family members, and they all have experienced diabetes. And they haven't handled diabetes very well, to the point that they either have experienced blindness or they have had a limb amputated or both. And so when I see that in my family members, I'm the youngest of six. Judy's the youngest of six, right? So when we see these kind of things in our family, it challenges me. It also scares me. Because you can see certain, you know, your doctor always asks you, what's the family trait? What's going on in your family, you know? And then you need to find out what that is, because that means you might be susceptible to those very things. You know, there are things that are going on with the eyesight in my family. I check my eyesight more often. Right? So, the choices you make today can have long-term results. And those results can either work for you or against you. Now, here's another fact about my family. Like I said, I'm the youngest of six, right? Two out of six marriages are still intact. Two out of six. You have to make choices. So this impacts our relationship, my relationship with Judy. It impacts how I pray and Judy prays for our daughter who's married, who just celebrated 16 years. It impacts how we pray for our son who's not married, but we pray for a future spouse. We pray for our siblings and their relationships. It impacts everything. Those choices impact every single aspect. So how intentional am I going to be? So here's the question I'm asking myself. Are my thoughts or decisions leading me to an early or premature death physically, mentally, emotionally, or relationally? I have to examine my thoughts and ask, where are my thoughts leading me? Are they leading me to death or to life and peace? And you might say, well, this is too hard. This is hard work. Let me tell you something. It's worth doing it. It's worth doing it. King David had a prayer, and this was a very dangerous prayer, and yet it was a life-saving prayer. And I'm going to read to you from the Passion Translation. I'm sure you're familiar with the text in the NIV or some other translation. But this is what it says in the Passion Translation. God, I invite you, your searching gaze into my heart. Examine me through and through. Find out everything that may be hidden within me. Put me to the test and sift through all my anxious cares. See if there's any path of pain I'm walking on, right? Because if we're walking towards death, there is pain beforehand, right, that we're experiencing. And it says, and lead me back to your glorious everlasting way. Lead me back to the path that brings me back to you. You see, the path that you are on will remain the same unless you're willing to confront the things you want to change. And it begins by allowing our thoughts to be searched by God and by those who we trust. See, God can place us back on a path, on the right path that leads to life. The question is, are we willing to say yes? He can give us new thoughts to think that lead to living new lives. And he's already given us himself, right? He chose to live inside us when we said yes to Jesus. And his name is the Holy Spirit, right? He came to live inside. So my question to you today is, do you want to go deeper? I'm not hearing anything. Okay. I thought maybe you just didn't want to go. You want to stay the same. There are two things you can do. And this is up to you. One would be, you could take a handout home and work through some questions that are in this handout that I made for you today. If you want it, you can have it. If you don't want it, that's fine with me too. It's just where you're at right now. And some of these questions, these questions are a thought audit. It's just asking yourself, is this true of me? So for instance, one of the questions may be, are my thoughts tearing me down? Or are my thoughts building me up? Does my self-talk cause me to shrink back in fear? Or does my self-talk allow me to take risks, faith risks in life? Those are just a couple of the questions that are on here. But you would need to meet alone with God and say, God, tell me where I'm at with this. Let's be real. I need to be real with you, and I need you to be real with me. So that's up to you. And these questions come from a book, from this other book that I have up here, and I would recommend buying this book and reading this book. It's called Winning the War in Your Mind. And I would, when you're alone with God, I would say, God, would you just reveal to me the answers to these questions? And not only allowing you to, yourself to hear the answer, but I always find it important to record the answer in a notebook. And even put the date on it, saying, today God said this to me. And the second thing is, if you want prayer regarding the way you think, I would welcome you to come up front and I and the elders can pray for you today. So, is there anyone that wants prayer regarding that? Okay, at least one person. Two people. Okay, three people. All right. And so let's for now... Who wants one of these handouts? Okay. Thank you so much. I made 35 copies. I don't know if we don't have enough for everyone, you just let me know and we'll make sure we get a copy to you. And of those of you who want prayer, you can come up front and just face that direction. And then what we're going to do is we're going to pray and dismiss the rest of you. So just come up front and I'll have people pray with you in a second. Is there anyone who needs a copy but didn't get a copy? Raise your hand if you still need a copy. All right. Elders, if you would come up front and begin to pray for people, and I'm going to dismiss everyone through prayer itself. So, Father God, I just thank you for today. I thank you that you want to invite us into a conversation where we can be real with you, where you can love on us, And as a loving father, today's Father's Day, right? You say to us, if we as earthly fathers know how to give good gifts to our children, you say, how much more I will give you the Holy Spirit. Because the Holy Spirit will reveal everything that Jesus said. And he will make you understand his word and his heart toward you. So I pray that today, that when you leave today, you say, I know that God loves me. I know that God is with me. And I know that God is for me. And that his favor rests over my life. And he's leading me on the path to life and peace. So we thank you for that. In the name of Jesus, amen. You are dismissed to go quietly. Amen.